Good evening, everyone. If we read a sentence that said something along the lines of "they did everything that they desired," we probably would imagine that wouldn't be a good thing. But this is said about Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 9. And up until this point that we read in verse 1, it's been a fairly good thing. We read in 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 1. Now it came about when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that Solomon desired to do. So Solomon desired to build a house for the Lord. He also prayed his desire for this temple in chapter 8 and verse 57. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us so that we may incline our hearts, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, which he commanded our fathers. Before this point, the Lord had appeared to Solomon, and the Lord asked Solomon what it is that he desired, and what he desired was an understanding to be able to judge the people of the Lord. So now, after all that Solomon has desired to do here in 1 Kings chapter 9, the Lord is about to appear to Solomon again. But this time, instead of asking Solomon about his desires, he is going to tell Solomon what he desires. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. 1 Kings 9 and verse 3. The Lord said to him, "I have heard your prayer and your supplication which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built by putting my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you will walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, just as I promised to your father David, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel." We see the desire of the Lord, and the Lord desires to answer Solomon's request about the temple, for his eyes and his heart to be there. He desires to establish Solomon's throne. He desires to grant Solomon a long-lasting line. But we can't miss the "if" that's put in there. "If you walk before me as your father in integrity and uprightness, doing all that I have commanded." Now let's finish the rest of the section in verse 6. "But if you or your sons indeed turn away from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them and the house which I have consecrated for my name. I will cast out of my sight so that Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all the peoples. And this house will become a heap of ruins. Everyone who passes by will be astonished and hiss and say, 'Why has the Lord done thus to the land and to this house?' And they will say, 'Because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt and adopted other gods and worshipped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all of this adversity on them.'" The Lord desires to do all of these things for Solomon that we've already talked about, but he desires Solomon to be obedient. But in being obedient, the Lord doesn't require Solomon to build up his own kingdom with his own hands. He doesn't require him to offer up his firstborn son or to do anything that Solomon is not able to do. He required Solomon to be the king that he wanted him to be, which is the thing that Solomon was asking for in the first place, and not to turn away from him who has given him the ability to do that. But then we shortcut to the end of Solomon's reign, and what is it that we read? 1 Kings 11 and verse 4, "But when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father was." Even though God wanted him to give, or wanted to give all these things to Solomon, now he can't. And the blessing, the huge blessing that it was that God appeared to this man twice, now becomes a condemnation against him. God desired, really desired, to bless Solomon, but Solomon didn't desire God, or at least didn't desire to obey him. I was thinking about, sometimes we pray, "Your will be done," about different things. And I don't know, for some reason, sometimes that feels hard. Like it feels like we pray, "Your will be done," and then we kind of hold our breath, feeling like what's going to happen is the worst alternative. But the fact is, God's will is for good for us if we are His people. Romans 8 and verse 28 says that we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God's will is to do good to us and to do good for us. And he desires to give us victory and life and blessings. And he desires to give us freedom. And he desires to give us sanctification and all of these wonderful things. But Romans 6 and verse 19, for just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. God desires that we obey. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. Isn't that what we desire too? I mean, obviously, obedience is not turning away from Him. Why would we want to do that? He's the one with the kingdom and with eternal life and all of these blessings. Why would we do that? Obedience is not practicing sin, but also obedience is, you know, being a good person and a good father and a good wife and a good mother and a good worker and all of these things. And I mean good as in how God wants you to be. And that's as good as you can get. I mean, do we not want that? If we don't want this, I mean, what is it exactly that we want from our life? It doesn't sound like we have a whole lot of purpose that we want for ourselves. But most of us do want to be successful in these things. And that is what obedience results in. You know who desired to be what God wanted him to be? You know who desired to obey God? Well, Solomon did. We've already talked about that at one point. There's a lot of things that Solomon said that are given to us, really wise things that are given to us, but I'm not sure that any of them are a whole lot wiser than what Solomon said the first time the Lord appeared to him. Solomon said in 1 Kings 3 and verse 7, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" Solomon may not have been, you know, felt wise in ruling a country. He may not have been wise in ruling a country. But he sure was wise in the knowledge of needing God to help him to do that. He desired to be a good king. Specifically, he desired to be the king, a king like God wanted him to. And you know what happened? He was able to do that. God helped him in doing that. If we desire to be obedient to God's plan for us as people or as husbands or as wives or as friends or whatever it may be, you know, we may not be perfect, but we will be as good as we can be. Now, with that being said, you know, desiring things are maybe not as easy as it initially seems. We have those things that we desire, or we just desire them. That's just what we do. But, you know, things like sacrifice, putting others before ourselves, being Christ-like in this world, that may not fall under that category. But there are things that become a habit because we do them, and then we desire them because they become a habit to do them. You know, I don't run anymore, but I did once upon a time. It was something that I completely despised in school before I ever started running. But, you know, after I ran every day for a few months, it became hard for me to not want to do it. I was just so used to doing it at that point. It was a part of my life. Let's go out of our way every day to just do something pleasing to God. You know, also there's a certain way that we treat things that we desire that I think might help. You know, when we desire something, we think about it. And we think about it a lot. Maybe it's a good meal or whatever it may be. We see in 1 John 4 and verse 20, John says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also." So that's the commandment that we have. Let's think about ways to love. Let's think about ways to put that love into action. The things that we desire, we set time aside for. Whether it's, you know, watching a sporting event or whatever it is, we set time aside for those things. We see in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good." That's the commandment that we have. Let's set aside time to do good. Let's set aside, of course, what we also always need to set aside time for is the Lord. Set aside time for the Lord. The things that we desire, we rejoice in having. You know, the past couple of days, I have said thank you over a lot of different desserts. There's a lot of desserts that I've said thank you over. Sacrifice and say thank you, God, for that opportunity. Put someone before ourselves in something and say, thank you, God, for that opportunity. You know, God desires these things for us as much as we do, or as much as we will. And He gives us the ability to do them. And doing them will keep us from turning away from our God, this God who honestly desires to give us far more than we have a right to ask for. What is it that these gods that Solomon turned to wanted to give him? Well, nothing. They were wood. They were stone. They couldn't desire to give him anything. One of the thoughts that bounces around my head, and it feels like it's kind of hard to formulate, so it doesn't make sense, I apologize. But when we have an impulse to do something that pushes us away from God, it's almost like we hear a promise in our heads, right? Of it'll be worth it. Impulses can't make promises, let alone fulfill them. But God, the God, wants to give you life and give you life in abundance. And He is living to be able to make that promise to you. And in fact, He has sealed that promise with the blood of His Son. We know God wouldn't break a promise anyways, but certainly not that kind. The only thing that can prevent God from giving us a successful life and from giving us eternal life is if we don't want it bad enough. So want it bad enough. Desire God, because He desires you. And want it bad enough to give your life over to the God who desires to give it to you. If you have not yet this evening obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, now is the time to do so. Please repent, come forward, and be baptized in our Lord while we stand and as we sing.